Here we go. My sound man forgot to check my checklist this morning, but that's okay. Said my sound man didn't check me down the checklist this morning, and I missed something over there. We got it right now, though.
I was sitting there dreaming about that sound booth I was going to have.
No, sir. No, sir. You're the faithful sound man.
Yeah, I can't go, Steve,
sir. That's right. I understand. Okay, we're going to be this morning in chapter 16 of Genesis. Verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I have given my maid to your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord, and that spoke to her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that sees me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Haggai bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare him, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Some of that's a mouthful to say those words, but let's get back to the meaning of it. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now we know this is not a physical thing, is it? This is something spiritual that God is bringing to enlightenment in us. Yes, there was a man named Abraham, and yes, he had a wife named Sarai, and you know what? That's not the point. The point is, Abram is the man. She's the soul. He's representing the Christ, the overcoming son. And this is what's telling him in his life, that Sarai, the soul of Abram, was bearing him no fruit. Okay? Was bearing no fruit. And she had a handmaid, and she was an Egyptian, right? And literally, she was a slave. And she was an Egyptian. What does the Egyptian speak of? It's duality, it's flesh. Let's do it this way. She had dual citizenship. She lived in the world of flesh, but she was trying to live in the world of God. Sound kind of familiar today? People were trying to live in the world of God on Sundays in church and Wednesdays, but on every other day, they're living in the Egyptian world. They're living in the other world. And a double-minded man is what? Unstable in part of his ways? Always. Okay? So he's saying, Abram was still messed up here. He was still trying to live in both worlds. Does that sound familiar to any of you here? We have all tried to live in both worlds. Some of us still try to do it. I mean, that's part of our process, like we shared this morning. It's a process of going through. Do you condemn yourself because you live in this duality temporarily? God doesn't. See? God doesn't condemn you. Who condemns you? Your own mind condemns you. See, you condemn yourself. So this is a process, and that's why this is written. It's written in parabolic form. So the children of the kingdom can understand. The rest of them don't understand at this time. It's to so we can see, and when we can see the pattern how God brought Abram through, guess what it can give you? It gives you peace and understanding. Say, hey, Abram wasn't perfect either. He was a man just like us, wasn't he? Same passion, just like Jesus, just like all the other prophets. They were men and women just like us that had passions and desires that they had to overcome just like we do. So there's no condemnation in our lifestyle. We say, okay, I can relate to this. Now I can make it part of my life because I can see they went through the same things. See, God did not come to condemn the world. He came to deliver the world. How could he deliver the world if he comes and says, you're going to hell for what you're doing? Now tell me how that's going to set you free. The only way you're going to get set free is to be loved into the kingdom of God. Okay. And her name was Hagar. Okay? Now, Hagar, what does it mean? It means flight, fear, or stranger. There's three definitions to the name I could find. Now, so if you're in duality and you're a slave to the fear or the dominator of the soul, guess what your nature is? Your name is, huh? You're always running from something because of what? Fear. See, when the soul dominates, you're going to be full of fear. Okay? So it's laying the groundwork here to explain for your lives why you go through what you're going through. Abram had the same thought processes that you have. He might not know what an email was, but he knew what fear was, and his life expresses it. And God's trying to show you here that this is what it's all about. I'm laying the foundation here, the groundwork, to let you realize that your inconsistencies in your life, that your faults and fears are just like everybody else. We all have them. Does that say it's okay to continue keeping them? The process is supposed to eliminate more and more as we take this walk. As the Jews walked through the desert for 40 years, how much garbage do you think was strewn along the way? It was valuable when they came out of Egypt and started their journey. They packed their bags with everything they could carry. But how many days do you think they was in that hot blaring sun when they said, you know what, I don't think that chair I'm carrying is worth it. I'll just sit in the dirt when I get ready to sit down. Or this big trunk full of stuff. You know, what's it worth out here in the middle of the desert when you've got to pack that sucker on your back? And we're the same way. We start off and we pack everything in the world up on ourselves and try to carry the whole weight of the world on us, all the condemnation and guilt. Say, well, I can carry that for a season, you might. It gets pretty hot out there in the desert. It gets pretty thirsty out there. So Sarai, that's the soul again, guess what she says? She said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing, and I, what? Perhaps, not I pray, but perhaps if you go into my, what? My maid? What is that maid? That's a slave. If you'll take my fleshly ways of doing things, and that's what the soul says, you know, listen to what I got to say to you. Listen to my way of doing it. Okay? She's a dominator. What's Sarai's name mean? She's a dominator. She's a controller, a manipulator. That's the soul. And it says, come on, do it my way. And you say, no, I'm not going, wah! I want my way. And that's what it's going to do. It's going to find one way or another to make you come that way unless you are strong and you know who you are. The only way you can come through it. Abraham submitted to this, didn't he? The faithful Abraham listened to his woman. Now, I'm not talking about his wife. I'm not talking about Sarah. I'm talking about the soul within him. He listened to those demands. Now, God had already told him, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Your seed will be more numerous than the sand of the seashore, more numerous than the dust of the earth. Huh? Impatient, you think. Immaturity brings what? It brings what to the surface? The character that's within you. And God said something to him, and God didn't tell him when he was going to get that child, did he? All he wanted to do is say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So Abraham had to believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, when did he believe God? You think he believed him now? He still didn't believe him. He's not going to believe him until later on. And we'll come to that later in later chapters. But Abraham wasn't faithful Abraham yet. He wasn't righteous Abraham yet because he had not believed God yet. If he believed God, would he have took Hagar? Would he have went into the fleshly thinking and produced something out of his own thinking? How many in this room, or how many people do you think will listen to this tape that has produced an Ishmael in their life? Every single one of us. We've took our own thought processes and done what we thought was right, and we had no foundation in what we thought. We only believed in ourselves. I think. How many people ever heard somebody say, well, I don't believe what you believe, Bob. I think this. Well, when somebody says, I think, it means that their thought process has not culminated into a true decision yet. They're just thinking about it. See, their process hasn't been analyzed. But when I say, I know, does that change it? That means I've had the thought processes, I've analyzed them, and come to a logical conclusion. Not illogical, but a logical conclusion. It's not about emotions, but this is facts. That's how the mind works. It works off of facts. And when you put the right facts in, it'll produce the right product. Okay? But anyway, she said, the Lord, the Father, Yahweh, had restrained me from bearing, and I'm saying perhaps now if you go into my maid, my slave, my flesh, that it may be, or perhaps I may obtain children from out of her. And Abram did what? He hearkened or listened to the voice of his woman, not his wife, his soul. And you know what? When you listen to your soul, I mean, right here it is in pattern, shadow, and type. Here it is. He said, if you listen to your woman, though you're the Abrahamic seed, and you listen to the woman, guess what you're going to do? You're going to take up with the flesh. And when you take up with the flesh, seed produces what? Okay, then if you take up the flesh, what are you going to produce? Flesh. Okay. We're not talking about physical things. We're talking about in our mind, the fleshly thinking. So he took up with his flesh woman, his mind, his soulish side, and guess what? He produced a child. We'll get to that in a minute. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her slave, the Egyptian, the one in duality, after Abraham had dwelt what? 10 years where? In Canaan speaks of lowland, a low degree, low place. He had lived 10 years. What's that 10 represent? He'd been under the law for 10 years. He lived under the law. And after he lived under the law, it's quick to fall back into those soulish things. Because it's not done by the Spirit of God, it's done by ritualistic patterns. Okay? But if I do this, 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 and this, then God will accept me. Under the law, that was true, wasn't it? But excuse me, there was no law at this time. The law wasn't yet, was it? There was no law. So Abraham wasn't bound by a law yet, was he? Only the law of God in his heart. But there was a law in his head that was overriding it called the natural man, the flesh. It was overriding this thing. So guess what? Abram couldn't help what he did. Doesn't the book say when there is no law, there is no sin imputed? There's no transgression if there's no law to transgress, is there? So what he did wasn't wrong. What Abram lived in his life was only a pattern of what we do in our everyday life. And it wasn't bad. He didn't sin because there was no law to transgress. Was there? At this point there wasn't. Hadn't been brought down yet. So, anyway, he lived there 10 years. He lived in Canaan, the lowland, the low life under the law. After her, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Now, it didn't say she was a concubine, did it? She was a wife. But she didn't come from the right place. She wasn't the bride that God chose for him. Who chose her? Abram did. Abram did it in his own soulish thinking. He made a decision. God said, I was going to have seed, and I'm getting way up in years now. What am I going to do? We're going to have to hurry this thing up. We can't wait on God.
Been here 10 years, hurry up.
Yeah, been waiting for years after God said this, and I'm still not getting any fruit here. What's going on? Is God telling me the truth? You think there maybe was doubt and unbelief in his mind? Because God said it, he heard it, but he still didn't see it. So faithful Abraham at this time did not yet have faith. He was still doubting what God said. But it'll come around, guarantee you. And he went into Hagar, the flesh, and conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. I can do something you can't do. Tell me what it is. Jealousy and pride. Okay? Well, the jealousy was on the part of on the part of Sarai, but the pride and arrogance was on the side of Hagar. Hagar is the flesh, right? And when you create something in the soulish realm, do you think there's any good thing going to come out of it? Pride and arrogance and jealousies and all these things coming down, hate, bitterness, revenge. That seed's already flourishing, isn't it? And that wasn't the good seed. That was the bad seed. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Wow. Who's pointing the finger now? The soul is never going to take responsibility for its actions. It's always out there somewhere. It's never going to accept responsibility for what she has done. I'm not talking about females. I'm talking about the woman inside of our soul. She's never going to accept responsibility. It's that man you gave me. He demanded too much. He was a hard taskmaster for some reason. It's never going to happen. They can't serve God. Neither can they please God in any way. Okay? But your wrong be upon you. Can't accept the responsibility. I've given my slave into your bosom, and when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Said, the Lord judge between me and you. Well, guess what? That's the only one that can. It's the only one that can judge. And you know what? She admitted it was her fault, but she couldn't accept the responsibility. I gave her to you, and now you've got something out of her that's better than me. Well, you know what? It was still flesh and it was temporary, wasn't it? It was flesh and it was temporary. And that's what all the things that are in our mind. The book says this about sin, and I don't even like the word sin. I don't like to use it for the stigma with it. But because of what it says in the scripture, I have to go with it just momentarily. It said, there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a season. It's only temporal. So all the things, all the missing the mark we can do, all the bad things we can do, it's only for a temporary reprieve. Because it's eventually going to come back and bite you. Always going to come back and bite you. You will reap what you sow, okay? And Abram said to Sarai, behold, your slave is in your hand. Do with her as you please. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, and that's not a good rendering, it says literally when she browbeat her. Sarai is the dominator. You think for one moment she had any problem with whipping her down with her tongue? And that's what we do out of the flesh. That soul can really get nasty at times. Okay? Very easy to deal with that because that's all they have. It's in the fleshly thinking. And when she browbeat her, she fled from her face. Well, tell me somebody wants to stand around and get beat all day long. Gets abused by the tongue all day long. There might not have been anything physical about it, but the browbeating, talking down to you, threats, intimidations. How many like to work under those conditions? I don't. Neither does anybody else. That was her. That's who she was. You don't have to teach a dog to bark or a cat to meow, do you? They do that on their own. Yep. And says the angel of the Lord, and this word angel is malach, it's messenger. The messenger of the Lord found her. Found who? Hagar, by what? A fountain? By the fountain of water in the wilderness, or in the desert. Now, notice this. It speaks of the fountain in the desert. Where is the fountain always found? See. Now, spiritually, let's look at this. The fountain of water is found in a dry place. What are we until God releases that flow of water in us? We're the dry place. We're walking through this testing ground. We're living in this earth vessel, which is a dry place because it has not the anointing or the life of God in it, released until the Father says release it. So he found her by this place. Okay. Notice she wasn't in the fountain. Didn't say the fountain. She was just close to the fountain. And that's where religion will take you. If you find the truth of God, you'll become this fountain of living water flowing out of you. Okay? And when it says that in the New Testament, you'll have rivers of living water. The word there is rheo, where we get our word rhetoric. It's words. You'll have a flow of not water, but words. And water does represent the word. It'll be a flow of the words of life out of you. We found her by this fountain of water in the... or this fountain of the fountain of water, or the word, in the wilderness, by the fountain, and there the word "the" is correct in there, just the same word, it should be above there, in the, or by, on the road, should be in, but on the road to Shur. Now, what does Shur mean? A what? Okay, but there's more to it than that. It's a wall. What is a wall? Well, there's a lot of ways you can look at a wall. You can look at it from the inside and you can look at it from the outside. It can be restrictive to keep you in for protection, or it can keep people out, can't it? But in the Old Testament, he was the wall. Who? God. He was the wall. And he said, you're on the way to God, you're going to find him on the way to the wall, which Jesus was called a wall in the Old Testament. So guess what? He's saying here in pattern and shadow and type that he found this flesh sitting by the fountain of the word in the wilderness in a place of testing, you know, the fountain on the road to the wall. Christ was the wall. Okay? And he said, Hagar, he's talking to this flesh, Sarai's maid or Sarai's slave, or soul of the slave, the flesh, which is the soul of the slave. Whence came thou? Okay? Where you been? And where will you go? There's two questions there. Where'd you come from? Where you going? What's the answer to that? What's really the question, the answer to those questions in your life? Where'd you come from? Thank you very much. Huh? Absolutely. Where are you going? Right back to where I came from, back to my father. That's the truth of it. If you look in Genesis 3:19, Ecclesiastes 12:7, Ecclesiastes 3:20, and Job 34:15, it'll tell you where you came from. You came from God, and you're returning to God. All those verses. So there's witnesses right there. There's the answer to the question. But of course, in the soulish realm, in the flesh realm, do you think she understood that? So guess what? She says, and he's telling you what happens in the flesh realm. He said, where'd you come from and where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. You know what? Even the flesh does not like to be dominated. Who likes to be dominated? Now, there's a difference between being dominated and being loved. You know, you can be loved into anything. But when you're dominated, there's only one thing you're going to do. You're going to rebel and reject it. God knows that. That's why he doesn't say do this or else. He created us. He knows what's inside of us. He knows what we're going to do. He knows how we'll reject that pressure the wrong way. And don't you know he uses it in our life? When I was a young man, I was going to a church, a little Nazarene church, and God spoke to me and said, I'm going to call you to preach. Scared the living far out of me. I mean, I heard a voice. And to hear a voice, you had to be crazy in them days, because in them churches, they didn't believe in God speaking, because he was already dead and he was just on the pages of the book. But I heard a voice speak to me as plain as if a person was talking to me, that I'm calling you to preach. And man, that scared me. Not that I heard the voice, but it scared me because every preacher I ever saw was poorer than the church mouse. You know, they'd go to church mouse's house for dinner and get more than they get in most places. And the church back then believed in keeping the preachers humble, and if they weren't humble enough, they'd just starve them to death and make them more humble. They wouldn't pay them anything. The preachers were poorer than I was when I was being raised, and I was poor. I didn't know I was poor until I got around some other people and found out I was poor, because they wasn't. But then I realized these preachers are worse shape than what I was. And when he said, I'm going to call you to do this, I said, ain't no way. I'm out of here. Exactly what he wanted. Exactly what he wanted. And I ran to the world. I took my flight from that dominator. I ain't going that way. And when it was time, he called me back. But I had to go out there and experience it. You got to experience life. If you don't believe that, read all about Solomon's life. That's your life. Okay, we'll leave off there. Starting 9. Okay. And the messenger of the father says to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Not hands, plural. So what's that saying? What's it telling you? The messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God says to her, return to your mistress. Who is the mistress? Sarai. And what's her name mean? The dominator control. So he says, you have to go back and submit to her. So what's he saying? What's he telling you? Two things are going on here. Or one thing by two things going. Two things are bringing about the one. The flesh, Hagar, has to submit to the soul, Sarai. Do they have an option in that? See, if the flesh could deny the desires of the soul, do you think there would be a problem with the flesh? If you could control it yourself, it wouldn't be a problem. But he's telling you right here, you must submit to it. He didn't say you had an option in it, did he? So if I work in the soulish realm, tell me what is going to submit to me. Flesh. Only thing is flesh. So when somebody's living in all these realms of the church out here that's preaching God, but they're living in the soulish realm, who are they controlling? Flesh. They're keeping people controlled by fear and intimidation, just like Sarai, the soul, does. There's no other way about it. That's the pattern of the book. Okay? And the angel Lord said to her, I will multiply your what? Your seed. What seed is that? Yeah, but what seed is it? From Adam there became two seeds. What were they? Seed of Cain, the seed of Abel. That was the good seed, bad seed thing. So he said, and I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. You can't count the seed of Cain. That's the negative side, isn't it? He said, hey, don't worry, I'm going to multiply. You know why? Because every positive needs a negative. Okay. So why is there so many negatives? I mean, sometimes I think there's more negatives, way more than there is positives. Isn't there? But that's the way God put it out here. It's working his way. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant. You're pregnant, lady. Who was he telling that to? The flesh. And you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name what? Ishmael. Because the Lord has heard your affliction or your misery. Now, do you know what Ishmael, the name comes from? Okay. It comes from three words, really. Ish is man. Shama, God hears, or hears God, hears. And El is God. Ish, Shama, El is the three words it comes from. Man hears God. And this man will hear God. God heard him too when he cried. Okay. And it goes on and says in the 12th verse, and he will be a what? Really it says the wild ass man, the wild ass nature, the beast nature, the unrestrained, the undominated, the unbroken man. That's what the flesh is. Because flesh produces what? So you can take the spiritual man, Abraham, and you can mix him with the flesh, and guess what you still got? You still got flesh. Because the only thing that enters into the kingdom of God is what? Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Do you ever think about that flesh and blood? Flesh and blood. What does it take to make that baby? It takes some flesh and some blood, don't it? So flesh and blood, a mixture of flesh and even the blood of Abram, cannot produce a good thing, can it? It has to come from the Spirit of God. So we have to see that even though we have good intentions, that our when our soul produces something, it's only flesh. And flesh produces flesh. Seed produces like kind. Okay? Because the Lord has heard your affliction or misery, and he will be a wild ass man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. Now, what does this say? When every man's hand's against him, when every man's hand's against him, what's that mean? When his hand's against everybody and everybody's hand against you, what's it saying? What's this represent? Works. Hand, works. Works. Okay? So everything you do is going to be contrary to what? In the flesh, everything you do is going to be contrary to everybody else, and everybody else is going to be contrary to you. So you're always going to be at war. And the prophecy says that Ishmael and Isaac will always war. The good seed, bad seed will never get along. The production of the soul is the flesh, and that's what will never get along with anything else. We just keep reproducing. That's why the church world can't get along. That's why there's over 25,000 denominations in the world today, because they're being produced out of their soulish side, and all they're producing is Ishmael's. And Ishmael can be prosperous because God said they're going to prosper. That's why they can have big churches and all the big windows and all the fancy stuff, but it doesn't have the nature of God in it. And that's not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking anybody. That's just a fact. If you can't look at the church world and see the hypocrisy, then you need your eyes examined. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that's where they are. And I'm not saying destroy the church world out there. I came through it, and everyone in this room came through it. See, there's your birthing chambers, processes. You get birthed out, and you don't stay in the delivery room forever, do you? You can go to the nursery for a while. You get through the nursery, you can go on out in the real world and go on with your life, can't you? See, three processes. Don't worry about it. That's part of what God set up. Leave them alone. I preached a message years ago, said, don't throw mama from the train. Just because she's got some problems, God didn't tell us to go kill nobody, did he? Leave her alone. Okay, and here's the kicker in this verse, the last part of this verse. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Want another rendering? Somebody give me another rendering of that. You got it. He'll be in the presence. The word presence is what? What's the word? Hebrew? Panim. There you go. It's the word panim. What does it mean? Face. He'll be in the face of all his brethren. What's that right there? Ishmael, that flesh thinking. See, it's not about the man Ishmael. It was about the thinking process that produced him. And everything that he produces in his line is the same seed. And it's this thing. He'll be in the presence of how many of his brethren? Oh my gosh. That Ishmael thought process in all of us. You know why? Because somebody produced us from the soulish realm. It's okay. But the thing of it is, don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay there. No. No. Let me clarify to him. We're not trying to get to God. We're trying to understand where God is.
But if you look back to Ram 1, we try to see God and for two roots.
Right, we try to work our way or earn our way there.
Right, so
it's a free gift.
Right, but how could Hagar existed before she had two mixed with the Abraham seed?
How could she didn't know, and it was that wasn't the point.
Right, but that's from what you I'm trying to figure out, you said that Ishmael was bruised out of
right. The soulish relationship.
But what does Abraham represent?
Abram represents us. And when we have a relationship, a soulish relationship, we'll produce an Ishmael. Okay? We won't produce a good seed, we'll produce the bad seed. Okay? We're going to produce the bad seed in that soulish realm. There's no way that the flesh can be produced anything but flesh. The soulish side doesn't have the spiritual side. Okay? It's a mixture. And mixture doesn't produce pure spirit, does it? We have to separate the woman from the man. And didn't God do that with Adam and Eve? Until the perfection came, he didn't put them back together again.
You're sort of on 12?
Yes.
Listen to this. This is the Amplified.
Go ahead.
And Ishmael shall be a wild ass
mm-hmm.
among men. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall live to the east and on the border of all his kinsmen.
Well, that's Amplified. It's not really there. The language in the King James is closer. He will dwell in the shot of the panim, the face of all men.
The panim.
Face.
Spell
P A. Panim, like P A W N E E M, you know, something like that. And P A W N M E E M, or something like that, panim. And anyway, when it says in, Bob, in the face, what's in the face here? See? And so he's saying you symbolically, this Ishmael thing is going to live in the mind of humanity, in the natural thinking process. That's where Ishmael lives. Ishmael is only a symbol and a type of the natural thinking in the man, in humanity. Okay? And she shall call the name of the Lord, and she called the name of the God that spoke to her. He says, thou God seest me. And literally what it says when it's unscrambled into English, it says this. She called the name of the God that spoke to her a God that sees, because she said, I also here looked after him that sees me. Okay? And literally what it's really saying in the language is this. I remain alive after he saw me. When God's eyes come upon you, when God comes to you and brings something to you, guess what she realized? I'm alive. I'm only alive because God saw me. God's messenger wouldn't have came to her if God hadn't have sent the messenger. True? It's in our life when we find out when our fleshly things, our soulish things, when God visits us, we're going to realize there's life inside this soul. And you know, if I submit it to God, under the hand of God, not under the hand of the soul, guess what? I can produce the man child in me. So can you. When you submit to God, not to the desires of the flesh. The New American Standard has a good rendering of that, and I don't have one stick in front of me, so I'll skip over that right now and tell you. If you look in the New American Standard, it has a pretty good rendering of it. Read it out loud. Yeah. Yeah. It says it pretty closely, the New American Standard does. But she's remained alive after God saw her. And when you realize that God has put his eyes upon you, what would you believe? I'm alive. God's put favor in my life. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahoy Roy. Something like that. You know what it means? Well of the living one that saw me. What's in a well? What's water represent? The Word of God. She said, my God, the God who sees me is a well of living water. See? She saw it. She got a revelation with this. She wasn't through yet. Her life was a negative, wasn't it? She was representative of the negative side. But you know what? I've noticed this. I think it's amazing. The negative side that God calls are more faithful to what God's called them to do than the positive side is. The ones who say, oh, I love God. They don't do what he asked them to. Didn't John say this? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He was speaking by the Spirit of God. And yet the ones who don't love God, God says, go out there and show yourself. Go out there and be a wild ass man. Hey, all right. Don't question, do they? Go out there and be a drunk or a drug addict. Go out there and do whatever you want to do. Hey, all right. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments, don't do these bad things. And what do? We go lie, cheat, steal, you know, hate, bitterness, all these things in our lives. Why? Huh? It's easier to submit to the flesh. Temporarily. I don't know. But anyway, that's what it means. Well, but all that happens because of that. And he said, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. What does Kadesh mean? It's a sanctuary or holy place, okay? A holy place. And Bered, what's it mean? Hail or hail to. What does hail mean? It's a greeting or a form of worship. Hail to the king, you know. So it's between the holy place and this beginning to worship God or accost God or speak to God. See? Between there, this is where it comes about. You actually realize that, guess what? He's the well. He has the supply of water. It's all there. It's beautiful. It's in here. It's all inside of us. It's all internal. But we realize it's between these two experiences in our life. It's between here and here. Between I start to speak to God, I start to hail God. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And that way we get a cab. Hey, cab. Yeah. But we hail God. Say, hey, wait a minute, God, wait on me. He isn't going to run off and leave you. But when you begin to hail him, guess what? It's between there and the sanctuary that you realize that he's the well of the living one. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was what? 86 years old. Now how old is that? 86 when Ishmael was born to him. Now notice something. You write on the board so I can show you a little better diagram. 86. It's 80 here, 84, right? And this is 6. Now what would that mean? 80. That was the beginning of man, the flesh, a new beginning of man. Just like after the flood, there was a new beginning in God. This was a new beginning of the flesh realm right here. It's a new beginning. Abram come to a place where he produced something out of himself, and all he produced was man. There wasn't God in it. He's just showing you that when you produce something out of yourself, what's it going to be? Man, the flesh. And Hagar is the flesh, when the flesh bare Ishmael to Abram. If you understand this stuff, you may not grasp it right off. Listen to it, let God open it up in your heart, and realize he's just trying to reinforce the encouragement that you're going to make this trip. Do you think the Jews, when they hit the desert, when they left out of Egypt, they all thought they was going to have a problem going across that desert? No. Well, man, they said, hey, we're free. We're out of here.
We're rich.
Let's go. But they had so much stuff, they couldn't make it. It weighted them down. And it's the same thing we do in our life. We think, hey, we got it. Hey, I got saved, man. Really? What'd you get saved from? I'm on my way. Where are you going? I don't know. How many of us would go to an airport, jump on the first plane, say, I don't care where it's going, just take me someplace. Have no idea where it's going. But people do it all the time, don't they? In their spiritual life, they jump on board a plane and take off where somebody's going. They have no idea where the driver's going to or the pilot's flying to, and they just take a ride. And they end up crashed side of a mountain somewhere and wonder why. I don't know. I kind of like to have direction. Now, I know he gave Abram direction. He said, take off and go to where I show you. See, so Abram wasn't going in the blind. Abram might not have known where he was going, but he knew what direction to go because he said, go the way I show you to go. See? So was that out of faith? Kind of. It was kind of faith. He wasn't going in the blind. And God's not going to tell you to walk out in blind faith. God doesn't even tell you to believe in him in blind faith. With faith, not blind faith. Blind faith is ignorance. Did you know that? People who talk about blind faith is people that's ignorant, speaking about it to start with. There's no such thing. Blind faith is doubt and unbelief. you don't believe anything. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. Guarantee you.
Don't control me.
What man wants to do is
man
control you.
Trying to control man, and that's like you're to get quote unquote saved. And then you just do this thing, and you do it because of an emotional thing that's happening about.